Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spooky Bean Podcast. So, as I'm sure you've noticed, I had some issues with my computer. It died. This silly little Mac, it died. And, you know, I was very tempted to just throw the damn thing off the balcony because I hate it. I really, really hate it. Unfortunately, Mac makes the best recording stuff that you can use. So, I had to make a decision about whether or not to buy a new Mac or just to use my Dell and, you know, use Audacity or something. So guess what I did, you guys? I am using Audacity. I know, I'm lazy and I can't help it, and leave me alone, alright? I figured it's something new, it's a challenge, we'll learn something together, right? So if it sounds different, if, you know, the levels are off, if the whole episode doesn't have music, if I can't figure out how to edit, it's because this is Audacity and it's new, and you know what? It's harder to use than the Mac stuff. I mean, look at it. Look at the buttons. It's not the same at all. But I'm back. So, you know, let's roll with it. We'll learn together. You guys will, you'll be okay. And if not, then you'll just go listen to something else. And, you know, no biggie. So we're going to talk about a movie that everybody else has already talked about, but I didn't get a chance to because I wasn't here, right? So we're going to talk about The New Nightmare on Elm Street right away today, just to kind of get it off the table and out of the way and off my mind. Yeah, so I did get to go see it in theater, the rare occasion that I go and I go to see this movie, right? But I liked it. It wasn't that bad. I tried really hard not to compare it to the original series or the original movie at all. Like, you can't really do that with a remake or a reboot because, I mean, I guess their intention is to kind of redo the series and make it bigger and better, but they never do, right? So why bother wasting your time thinking about it like that? What I tried to do was go in and watch it as an independent movie all on its own. So I didn't rewatch the Nightmare on Elm Street series before I went in. You know, I tried really hard not even to think about it. I really tried to embrace, you know, Haley as the Freddy Krueger that he did, and it was okay. It was like a mediocre movie. It wasn't the greatest thing I'd ever seen, but then again, you know, I really haven't been impressed with a whole lot of movies that have come out lately. They're all good, but nothing that, you know, I think we're going to be talking about 50 years from now. That's kind of not true. I do have this really bad feeling that all the younger kids that went out to see The Nightmare on Elm Street are going to associate A Nightmare on Elm Street with this movie and the sequel that's been announced instead of with the original series, and I don't think that's right at all, but that's what happens every time. Every time, dears. It's just a fact of life. Maybe we should do something to change that. We need to have, like, a revolution. What we need is a bunch of theaters that are gonna play prints of older movies, like, from 60s, 70s, 80s, probably not the 90s, because not a whole lot came out of that, to reintroduce the new younger generation to the great movies that we had, you know, I mean, and let's bring back some Hammer horror too, alright? That stuff was pretty good. A little slow for my taste. I mean, I grew up watching all this crap where it's like, you know, non-stop action, but Hammer horror is good. I mean, there's some good stuff in there. It's very creepy, by the way. Kind of sexy. We'll go with that. Anyways, back to The Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, I mean, I do think that this movie was one huge jump scare, but I'll let that go, because jump scares don't really bother me. At least you're getting some kind of reaction to say about all that. You know, Jackie Earle Haley as Freddy Krueger, I think, did a pretty good job. You know, I think he tried to make it his own. He had that weird little twitch that he did where it was like, you know, sharpening the knives with the fingers, that ch-ch-ch-ch sound. I mean, he did some stuff that really made his version of the character stand out. He's not as good as Robert Englund, though. Let's just say that right now. Not that I'm comparing, because I told myself I wouldn't do that, but Robert Englund scared me, and Jackie Earle Haley just kind of, he creeped me out, dude. I mean, he was just creepy. He wasn't really scary. He seemed like an angry pedophile. Hey, because that's what he was, right? If you haven't seen the movie by now, I don't know why you're listening to a Nightmare on Elm Street podcast, all right? That's just stupid. So if I just spoiled the whole movie for you, sorry, you're a dumbass. Go home, watch the movie like a good little boy or girl, and then go listen to all the spoiler-filled podcasts that are out there. Okay, good job. You know, I mean, in that, Jackie Earle Haley as Freddy Krueger was not bad for me. I thought he did a pretty good job, you know, in and of itself as a good character. And then a lot of people have been complaining about the fact that they actually came out and made Freddy Krueger a child molester in this movie, and you know what? I don't know where I got this idea. I guess it was kind of implied in the original series, and I just kind of unconsciously thought that it was said out loud, like, explicitly, but I always thought he was a pedophile. Wasn't that the point? I don't know. I'm gonna have to rewatch the series now, because I am, like, 90% sure. Or maybe it was just the line in the first movie when the mom said, "He's a filthy child killer." I took that to mean that he was a filthy, perverted, in a sexual way, child killer. And so for the whole series, I just kind of assumed that that's what he did, right? I mean, why would you make finger knives if you weren't going to use those finger knives to do terrible things with your fingers? Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm, like, secretly a psychopath, and that was just me. But anyway, I, you know, so for that part of the movie, it didn't really take it to a whole nother level like other people did, but I mean, I think it works. You're not supposed to like the bad guy. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, there's nothing redeeming about Freddy Krueger. Everything he did is totally bad. It's not like watching Dexter, where, you know, Dexter is killing other bad guys. You know what I mean? It's Freddy Krueger comes. He's terrifying. He's in your dreams. You can't get away from him. They've never been able to successfully put this guy down, you know? And I mean, really, why do you need to like Freddy Krueger? He is not an icon. Like, I mean, he is the icon, but he's not. They have toys of Freddy Krueger. That is kind of sick. Think about it. He's a child killer, and there's kids running around in Freddy masks with Freddy toys and Freddy posters, and it's like, really? Really? So, you know, I think that making him a child, explicitly a child molester, is a pretty good move as far as making Freddy horrifying and scary and just absolutely disgusting again. So, you know, I'm totally all for that. Let's keep that in the series, right? Yeah, I liked it. I do think I've heard some people saying that, you know, they think that there was one script where he was innocent at one point and then they had to change it halfway through because test audiences, blah, 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 right? That I can totally see as being a super valid point, because in the dream sequence with the guy who plays the Glenn character, I know I'm trying not to compare the movies or anything, but it is the same people in the movie as in the original movie. They just changed the names, which was stupid because now I'm confused. I don't know what anybody's name is. But the Glenn character had a dream, and he's like, he fell in the pool, right? And he fell asleep for whatever reason, I can't really remember, and then he's having, like, a dream sort of flashback, and you see Freddy running into the warehouse and everything, and that's in the commercial. I mean, everybody's seen that, right? I don't understand why he would be seeing that, or why Freddy would want him to see that if there wasn't something behind it, you know? I mean, I don't understand. Like, I know that in the movie as it is, as it was in the theater, Freddy is leading them to this preschool or whatever it is, this daycare center, and so that they can find the evidence that proves that he did do what he was accused of doing. But I don't understand why they're seeing these glimpses of how he died. And it might just be that the producers wanted us to see it and wanted to be able to show this part of the story that's never really been seen before. But it just doesn't work for the story. I don't understand, unless he's innocent and he's trying to prove his innocence, why he would bother. You know what I mean? I'm glad I got to see it. It was a really neat scene, and it's, you know, as a fan, something that I'd always wondered about, you know, how exactly did this happen, you know? I like that better than having them throw him in the, you know, furnace or something crazy like that. Like, I like them in this sort of angry mob mentality and seeing them, you know, burn the building down and everything. I think that that really works. I just don't know that it works in this context. Does that make sense? Like, in this particular story, not 100% sure that that's exactly where that goes, because it is a little confusing. Now, I do think that they should make a prequel. I would be all about that. Like, maybe not. I don't know about that. Like, I don't know how graphic that, you know, directors and producers now would make that. 10, 15 years ago, they probably could have made a prequel that wouldn't be as disturbing as what they're going to do with it if they make it now. But, I mean, it would be interesting to see a Freddy Krueger before, you know, but the fact that he's a child killer and now an out loud child molester, I don't know if I'd want to see that. Like, I don't know. We'll see what they do with that. But anyway, you know, it did seem like there was more than one story going on, and, you know, I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that. Like, I kind of want them to release the scripts. I think that would be interesting. As a fan, I would buy the multiple Nightmare on Elm Street scripts that had come out. I would pay money for that, you know what I mean? Just to read them and have that extra story, even if it's not part of what is, I suppose, now part of the canon. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. Yeah, but I mean, I think the movie had some really good visuals in it. There were some scenes that were pretty neato. I liked how they did the dream sequences. You know, I mean, and the boiler set was just amazing. I mean, that, whoever did set design for that knows how to build a boiler room, because that was super scary. It looked hot, like, ridiculous hot in there. I don't know. It really is a worthwhile movie. You should just go see it, you know, bite the bullet. Don't worry about the other Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Try really hard just to watch the movie as its own movie, and don't make comparisons. I mean, it's not any worse than the rest of the crap we've been watching, you know? Don't judge. Harsh. In any case, I guess that's it for the Nightmare segment. I'm kind of out of stuff to say and, frankly, out of coffee. So I'm going to take a break. If I can figure out how to get music into this shindig, I will put a song here. And if not, then, you know, it's not really a break. You should probably just pause it, go pee, and come back. So I guess that's it. I'll see you in a minute. Bye. Okay, we're back. So obviously I couldn't figure out how to put music in there, but I'm sure I'll just have to Google it or something and get the answer that way. It's probably on Wikipedia. But anyway, I figured since we were talking about the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, we'd just go ahead and talk about remakes in general. So I pulled a couple out of my wonderful collection there. I have Dawn of the Dead remake with Ving Rhames and Sarah Polley and all those people, and I have an Amityville Horror remake. The Amityville Horror, everybody does not like, and the Dawn of the Dead, I think people generally do like. From what I've heard from people, you know, it's pretty well accepted. They did a good job. So we're going to start with the Amityville Horror, the one that no one likes. Obviously, I like it because I bought it. I mean, it's not that bad. The original movie was based on a true story, blah, 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 right? No, it wasn't. It's a bunch of crap. Give me a break. Didn't happen. People living in the house right now never had a damn problem. Nothing. They're fine. I mean, just get over it, right? The remake, it says, what happened over the next 28 days has never been explained, based on a true story. And the way they marketed it, it was more true to the book than the original movie. It really wasn't. But it's a movie based on a bunch of crap that a bunch of crackhead hippies made up. Give me a break, you guys. I mean, really. Don't get all uppity and movie snobbish. Just deal with it. And you know, I suspect that a lot of guys didn't like this movie because of Ryan Reynolds and his amazing six-pack abs. Let me just say, this movie could be the biggest piece of crap and I still wouldn't mind watching it, because he's got his shirt off for half of it. He's not bad looking. He's annoying as hell, and I don't really particularly care for him as an actor, but, and the chick's pretty. Why don't you guys like her? You get to see her boobies, don't you? I think you do. I'm pretty sure you get to see Melissa George's boobies in the sex scene. I can't remember though. She might have a nightie on. But the movie, I think this movie's pretty scary. Now, of course I've seen the original movie. I do like the original movie. You know, and the thing that you have to remember is the original movie was made in a different time. So it's a little bit longer than I would have made it. I don't know if it's any longer than the remake, though. Like, I should probably look into that. But the way that it's shot, it seems slower. It's a little hokey. Not particularly scary. I didn't, like, the walls oozing was in the book. I did read the book. The book scared the ever-living crap out of me. And if you read, you should read that book, because I think you'll like it. But the book had the oozing walls. In the movie, it just didn't work for me. I didn't really, it wasn't scary, it was just gross. Does that make sense? I'm trying to think. I can't remember how the movie ended. I don't know. I know I've seen it, I just can't remember. Maybe I should watch that again. But I'm not talking about that movie, I'm talking about this movie. This movie is pretty good. What makes it really good, in my mind, is that instead of a pig, it's got a little girl. And the little girl is far scarier than the pig. You don't really get to see the pig. It's just, in the original movie, the little daughter is friends with a pig. It's like a demon pig, and it's watching her. And at one point, George Lutz looks up into the window after he goes down to the boathouse to check the doors or something, and he sees this pig. And the pig's looking down at him with this red pig eyes. And I suppose that was scary. Kind of. I mean, if there was a crazy demon pig in my house, I would probably freak out and never go back in there ever again and immediately move my family out. I don't know why they didn't leave, because that was super kind of creepy. If it happened in real life, that would be scary. But in the movie, I'm not particularly afraid of pigs. I suppose if you had a pig phobia, that would be creepy. But it was just weird and slightly awkward. In the remake, there is a little girl instead of a pig. That's scary. Little kids, scary. Little kids with holes in their heads, scary. Strange little kid in your house with a hole in her head, scary. Alright? I don't even want to talk about it, because that's super creepy. All little kids in horror movies, scary. So, I mean, that part, this movie, alright, it's not the best acted movie in the world. And okay, it's not really all that true to the original story, but I mean, if this were another movie, if this were a regular haunted house movie that didn't have anything to do with the Amityville Horror, I'd be kind of creeped out, right? Wouldn't you? I mean, this is the problem with remakes, is that they're automatically associated with the movies or the series in which, they're being remade. And I don't think that that's fair. I do think that it's incredibly stupid of people to try to remake these movies that don't need to be remade 20, 30 years later because they were already good and profitable. And they know they're going to catch shit from remaking a very, loved and classic series, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Amityville Horror, Dawn of the Dead, blah, 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 blah. But if this were a movie under any other name other than the Amityville Horror, I'm not sure that it would have gotten the crap that it took, I mean, it scared me. This movie scared me. And I know that I'm just this, tiny little, 23-year-old chick living in her apartment, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm easily impressionable, what have you, but I mean, and it's not like I don't get scared quite a lot. A lot of movies freak me out, and they make me incredibly nervous, and they scare me. Nightmare on Elm Street was not one of them, by the way. It didn't really scare me. It just creeped me out, made me uncomfortable. But the Amityville Horror remake did scare me because of the little ghost child. Oh my god, you guys, that was scary. That was scary. I don't care what you say. Now, the rest of the movie, maybe not so much, right? The little girl is what scared the hell out of me because I don't like little kids. They're creepy. They walk into your room in the middle of the night, and they stare at you while you're sleeping, and then you wake up and their face is right there next to you. That's why I don't babysit my nieces and nephews, because they're creepy little kids. They're always trying to get into your room, trying to sleep in your bed, and they just stare at you while you're sleeping. Mm-mm, we're not doing that. No. Right? But they're okay, back on topic. The rest of the movie, maybe not so much. They had this John Ketchum guy that I don't think was, I know he wasn't in the original movie, but he might have been mentioned as the thing that's possessing the house in the remake. And you actually get to see him, and there's some creepy shit down in the basement. That was scary, by the way. The Indians in the basement scared me because they were scary. I mean, didn't you see the movie? I can't even explain it. But the John Ketchum guy was not scary. He was just weird. He looked like a scarecrow. And I didn't, like, the fact that he was this big, malevolent force in the house, and he was what was making, George go crazy, that, I guess, was scary and a little disturbing. The thought of possession bothers me. But, I mean, the actual visual figure of John Ketchum, not so much. He wasn't intimidating, he just looked like a really skinny scarecrow crackhead, pilgrim Puritan guy, and I don't know, that didn't really work for me. The stuff that he did was scary. I mean, I really do think that this movie had a lot of potential to be scary. It would have been really good movie had it not been for, Michael Bay coming in like he does and just absolutely ruining it by, I don't think Michael Bay is a horror fan. I don't think that he knows really what we want and what is scary. And I think that he knows how to make a really good commercial. Does that make sense? He makes you want to go see the movie. And then when you do, it's a bunch of shit. And with, good elements in it, but not enough to make it, like, worth your $30-$40 that you went to go spend. So the next thing that we're going to talk about, since I don't know how to actually put a break in here, you know, seems kind of silly to take a break. I don't have to get more coffee or anything. Is the Dawn of the Dead remake. And, you know, in my opinion, from what I can remember, the Dawn of the Dead remake is actually what started all of this crap, right? So it's, from what I can remember, the first really successful horror remake that came out. And it actually is a pretty good movie. This movie is, of course, a remake of Dawn of the Dead, the one where they're stuck in the mall or whatever. It's very, very different. Whenever directors say that they're going to do a reboot or something, this is what they should mean. This is not always what we get. They take the basic idea, Dawn of the Dead takes the basic idea of the original movie and then makes it its own. So, yes, they're at a mall. That's about it, really. They're living in a mall. In the original movie, there's zombies in the mall. Like, they're cohabitating with the zombies. Not so much in the remake. The remake, completely different. Alright, so in this movie, they kind of took it a step up, which I suppose what they're always trying to do in these remakes, but they actually did it in this one. The zombies are scarier. They run in this movie. They're much faster, much more vicious. They're an actual threat. You know, I mean, in the Romero zombie movies, they're kind of slow, right? In the original movies, you could probably outrun one if you had to. And the real threat with the original Romero zombies is their numbers. There's so many of them that you can't get away. In this movie, there could just be one, and you really don't have a whole lot of a chance unless you've got a gun, because this zombie is way faster than you are, right? They're scarier looking. I mean, the makeup in this movie was great. Absolutely fantastic. And that's, you know, nothing against Tom Savini or his original designs, but this is what I think a zombie would look like. Not necessarily. The Savini zombies I always thought were a little bit dry. I figured a zombie would be gooier. That's what I got in this movie, right? They kept a lot of the basic. In the original movie, the chick was pregnant. There is a pregnant chick in this movie. Doesn't really end well. From what I remember, in the original movie, they say, hey, this chick is pregnant, and then it's not really addressed ever again. In this movie, not so much. You really need to go on YouTube or something and find it if you haven't seen this movie. That's an awesome scene. And just, like, the destruction and the carnage that takes place in this movie is a lot more serious than in the original movie. I mean, the first time I saw this movie, I just kind of sat there going, oh my god, did they just do that? That was fucking awesome. I mean, I'm sorry, but this was an amazing movie the first time I saw it. And it is. It is a good movie. Go see it. Good stuff, you know, and it's not one of those happy-go-lucky movies that, you know, we were getting for a while with the happy ending or whatever. That's stupid. Horror movies aren't really supposed to have a happy ending. If you're watching a scary movie, it's not because you want to feel good at the end, right? It's very dark. But I'm just going to say, if you haven't seen this movie, you need to go see it because it's a great movie. But the reason I picked this one out of the pile is because it is what started this whole remake shenanigans. People went to see it. It's a good movie. They liked it. It made a lot of money. It had a lot of, like, you know, good reviews as far as horror people go. I mean, I don't think I've talked to anybody who doesn't like this movie. And what happened was a bunch of rich guys up at, you know, whatever studio said, hey, that movie made a lot of money. That movie's been done before. What else can we remake? And now we're getting all this crap. Absolute bunk that we don't really need to see. And it's not so much that the movies aren't okay movies. You know, I mean, in most cases, these movies are, you know, adequate. They're mediocre at best, but they're not horrible. You know, it's just that they're not, you know, original ideas, and I really do think that that's what we need. We need some original ideas out here. So we need somebody to write a movie or a script or something and really blow us away. And I wonder if the well hasn't run dry. Like, maybe there aren't any new ideas out there, and what we're going to end up with is Twilight, you know, and I like Twilight, but it's not a horror movie by any means, but that's where all of our monsters are going and all of, you know. All right, so let's actually take a look at this, because it's something that's been bothering me, and I really feel like we need to talk about it. So I'm on filmandtv.com. I was just kind of looking through the list of the horror movies that came out during that decade. You know, each decade they have, I guess, the complete list, which is kind of neat. So you start out in the 60s, and I consider the 60s kind of a bridge between classic horror, you know, the Hammer horror kind of stuff, and what I would call modern horror. And really, I mean, this, not a whole lot of movies came out during the 60s. I mean, they've got 172 listed. I don't know if it's a complete list, but you have, you know, the old Dracula movies, you know, like, you know, classic Dracula, whatever, and then you have movies like Psycho and Rosemary's Baby and Night of the Living Dead, that sort of thing. And, you know, back then, I guess movies hadn't really been around quite as long as they have now. I mean, of course, that sounds stupid to say out loud, but I think... So what I'm thinking is that horror kind of goes in cycles. So if you look at it, in the 60s, they went from having classic horror and, you know, Hammer horror and all that fun stuff to doing new stuff. And that's when, you know, modern horror started or whatever. So we have movies like Rosemary's Baby, you know, that sort of thing. And then you hit the 70s, and this whole newness is still continuing. We have, you know, Alien coming out at the end of the 70s, 79. We have, you know, Phantasm. We have, you know, Halloween and The Hills Have Eyes. All of those movies sort of, you know, the birth of what we consider now modern horror. Then you hit the 80s, which is what I would call the pinnacle of the horror genre for this, you know, period. And you know, we have all kinds of horror movies coming out. This is when horror really got big and kind of mainstream, if you will. We have, you know, a lot of sequels coming out. Of course, all of the Friday the 13th sequels, most of them came out of the 80s. We had all the Amityville sequels. We had, you know, the Hellraiser series and its sequels, you know, and it was just more... It was Hollywood capitalizing on the success of its bastard child, pretty much, right? Because... Even now, I mean, horror movies are not considered marketable. I mean, they really don't put as much money into a horror movie as they do, you know, the Tom Cruise movie. And I do feel like just as many people would go see it. I mean, if they knew about it, marketing isn't really there either. But, I mean, this is what most people remember now is horror movies from the 80s. So this is like the top of the wave, if you will, the crest or whatever. And then... You know, towards the end, it kind of piddled out, you know, and we hit the 90s, and the 90s are ho-hum, kind of mediocre until you hit Scream. And I do think that Scream is really what, you know, started the horror genre back up, kind of brought credibility. It was this groundbreaking movie. It was very self-aware. I mean, I'm sure you remember. But after that, a lot of the same movie came out. This sort of self-aware, very witty, you know, movie that was being written by the same guy who wrote Dawson's Creek. I mean, that's basically what that was. And then, you know, you hit the new millennium, and a lot of what we're getting is remakes. And you know, the same movie being made over and over and over again. I mean, we had some good ones. American Psycho was good. You know, 28 Days Later was good. What else? I guess Saw was revolutionary when it came out. That was kind of a big deal, I remember. And you know, but then you get, you know, freaking Halloween and the remake of The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left. And that's all we're getting now. And what we're going to do about that, I don't understand the need. I mean, thankfully... Recently, we've been getting some good movies coming in. I mean, Paranormal Activity did really, really well, and that was a low-budget horror movie that somehow managed to not get remade because, you know, the studio wanted to remake it and reshoot it with different actors, someone with a name, you know. I'm super glad that they avoided that. You know, we had Zombieland come out, and that was... I mean, it's a good movie. I do kind of compare it to Shaun of the Dead because they did it first, but I think that this was... an incredible effort, you know, and very good. We had, you know, I'm not sure what else came out that was totally new and amazing. Dog Soldiers came out. That was a good movie, but nothing else ever came of it, you know. I mean, and these movies, there's some good ones coming out, but they're not influencing the industry enough to fix it. So, I mean, I really don't know what we're gonna do. I don't want to get stuck with more remakes. I mean, I don't hate them. I don't think they're the worst movies ever made. I just don't think that they're necessary, and they're kind of detrimental to the genre. I mean, they're taking an entire generation of youngsters, and for a lot of them, the only version that they've seen is the remake, and it's corrupting our youth, as odd as that sounds. You know, I mean, someone who's grown up nowadays, you know, the teenagers now have all seen the Omen remake and the Amityville remake and, you know, what have you, and they haven't seen the originals, and when they go back, they're not going to be able to appreciate it for what it is. You know, they're not going to be able to see the history behind it, because, I mean, if you either had to have been there, or you have to be, you know, dedicated enough to go back and see what was happening when George Romero made Night of the Living Dead, what the social context was. I mean, these horror movies are important to the decade in which they were made, most of them prior to 1986 or so. I mean, they you know, a horror movie is like a time capsule. It kind of takes what, you know, our fears are, the paranoia that was going on during that decade. It takes what the concerns were socially and kind of puts that into, you know, a movie. And I think most horror movies are sort of there's a word for it, but it's completely gone out of my mind, but just a representation of a generation, you know, and starting, I don't know, 2008, 2009, you know, I don't think that that's necessarily the case anymore, because now we have all these remakes, and we don't have anything representative of us. So, I mean, what do? You know, I mean, do we not have enough social unrest? Do we not have any issues that we feel, you know, are giving us inspiration for our horror movies? I mean, maybe we don't have anybody smart enough to write that. I don't know. I just, maybe the studios have truly taken over and squashed any kind of creativity that, you know, would warrant that. I mean, and if you think about it, the only new movies that have come out that are like original, you know, is the Hostel series or Saw, and that's kind of scary, because if those movies are what's, you know, representative of our generation, of this entire decade here, then where does that leave us, you know? So I don't know. We need to start a revolution so somebody out there can write an awesome movie and inadvertently cast somebody who's, you know, that was a big deal back then. And kids aren't gonna know that. They're not gonna know that it, you know, back when George Romero shot Night of the Living Dead, A, shooting it in black and white was a big deal, because that wasn't being done anymore, and B, shooting with, you know, an African-American lead was a huge deal, because that just wasn't done back then. There was a lot of stuff going on, and that was a big deal. He didn't necessarily do it on purpose, but he still did it. I mean, subconsciously, he had to have, you know, known, right? And there's just a lot of things that people, the younger generation, is not gonna recognize or appreciate, because they're not going to see those movies first. Does that make sense? I mean, it's just a fact of life that people will identify with whatever they saw first, as opposed to, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter as far as quality or context or any of that, because I don't even know. I don't know. I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to get some coffee. Clearly I don't need any more, but I think I'm gonna get another cup, and then I'm gonna come back, and I'm gonna talk about some news, because I'm kind of tired. I think I've ranted enough, so we're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna talk about some news, so I'll be right back. Alright, everybody, I'm back. So I'm on horrornews.net, and there is something that I wanted to talk about as far as new stuff that's coming up, that looks pretty good, actually. It's the new, I don't know if it's a Guillermo del Toro movie, I'm not sure if he directed it or whatever, but it's that Splice movie I've been seeing commercials for, and I think that this is going to be a good thing. I think that Splice looks different enough that we can be satisfied. And, I mean, Del Toro usually delivers with what he makes. You know, I really like Del Toro as a movie maker. So, if you haven't seen the commercial, it's got Sarah Pauly and Adrian Brody, which is odd. I don't normally think of Adrian Brody as a horror actor, but it basically looks like kind of, I don't even know. It's not an alien movie. It's a clone movie. These people have cloned a half person, half something, and it's got this crazy tail, and yeah, it looks like havoc ensues, but it looks pretty decent. I think I'm gonna go see that. Scrolling down. It doesn't look like a whole lot is going on as far as news is concerned. HorrorNews.net has some interviews. There is a new Resident Evil coming out. I'm sure that if you went to see A Nightmare on Elm Street remake, you saw the preview for that. I don't know how excited I am about that. I guess we'll just have to see, you know, how that goes. Oh, look. There's an article on here called 13 Favorite Memorable Movie Scenes. Oh, look at that. I haven't seen half of these movies. I'm still working on it. Number 13, I guess, from top to bottom is a scene from Hostel. Hostel's kind of gross, you guys. I don't know how I feel about those movies. There's a movie, Hard Candy, I didn't see. Audition, didn't see. Old Boy, didn't see. Salem's Lot, 1979. That was an okay movie. Stephen King movies, generally speaking, could be a lot better if they would just throw some money at them. Example, 1408. I don't think was a huge budget movie, but it was a movie and not a TV series. Big difference. Let's focus more on TV series. The Hitcher, didn't see. Seven, good stuff. I saw that movie. Pretty good. I heard that they were making a sequel. I don't know if that's true. Don't go running off saying they're making a Seven sequel because I'm not entirely sure. Just a rumor. Misery, good movie. I like that movie. Freaking scared me. That woman was crazy, and I will forever think of Kathy Bates as a crazy bitch. Suspiria, 1977. I haven't seen, but it is in my queue. I am going to watch that sometime this week. The Deer Hunter, not seen. The Brood, not seen. Funny Games, not seen. Clockwork Orange. You know, so out of 13 greatest scenes of all time, I've only seen like 3 or 4. So, good job me. I'm making progress. I see a whole lot going on here. There's a lot of foreign horror movies coming out, which is pretty cool. Foreign horror, I think, might be our salvation as far as independent horror is concerned, because, you know, they probably have some social unrest that they need to, you know, kind of squish into a movie. Legion. You know, let's talk about that for a minute, because, you know, a lot of people have been giving it guff, and I don't think it was that bad. Now, the story bothered me. The actual plot itself bothered me, because I don't understand that at all, like, the idea behind it. It didn't make any sense. You know, Sunday school didn't talk about God sending angels to, you know, destroy the human race and then change his mind. I don't know that happens. God doesn't change his mind. If indeed there is a God, the way that Sunday school teaches, that whole movie made absolutely no sense. And then add to it that the guy who plays the angel is the same guy from Wimbledon and A Knight's Tale. Super weird. He's the scrawny, nerdy guy who's like, you know, the intelligent British. And in this movie, he's the super ripped angel from God. Totally odd. Dennis Quaid's in this movie. I didn't have a problem with him. I kind of like Dennis Quaid. Good man. He kind of plays the same character over and over again, but it works for him. It's a good character. There were some awesome scenes that all of which were in the trailer. So, you know, if you don't feel like sitting through this movie, if it doesn't look like it's your thing, you can probably watch the trailers on YouTube and get the gist of most of it without the lame ending, you know. I mean, that's kind of that. It's worth watching at least once. You can get it out of the red box and be fine. I wouldn't buy it. It's not, you know, it's not the greatest movie you're ever going to see, but it's not the worst. So, you know, go out and see it. I still haven't seen Wolfman yet. I don't know if I want to. I've not heard awesome things, and I'm kind of scared to see it. The Crazies, I haven't heard anything about, really. But on this website, It's got 3.5 stars, which is better than Legion. So, I mean, maybe I'll go see that, man. This is Amazon.com's hot new releases, by the way. True Blood is kind of at the top. The Lovely Bones, I don't know what that is. Peter Jackson directed it. It's got Mark Wahlberg in it. I don't know if I'll be picking that up. Mark Wahlberg is not impressive, you guys. I don't know. No. Not a big up fan of Mark Wahlberg. Alright, so just so I have one more thing to talk... Nope, I think that's it. So I think that's all we're going to talk about today. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. And hopefully by the next time I, you know, send out a podcast, I'll have figured out how to put music in. So, you know, whatever. If you want to send feedback or comments or anything, it's spookybean1987@gmail.com. And I guess that's it. If anybody's still listening out there, I know it's been a while. You probably unsubscribed by now, but sorry, you know, whatever. All right, I'll see you in about a week.